passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back to the Cape Cod Pod. This is your host, Jeff Ponce. Live with me is Peter Flaherty, my co-host. Pete, we are reaching the end of the Cape Cod League season. Regular season obviously already happened. We've gone through two rounds of playoffs now. We have a championship game, which has been set. Orleans defeated Yarmouth Dennis in the East, you know, championship or semifinal, if you want to call it that. Out in the West, it was Bourne over Hyannis for a second straight year, but for a third consecutive season, Bourne has won the West Division title. had to trip over my directions there, you know, East, West, right, left. But, you know, I think it's interesting. I think I want to start off the conversation here now with just Bourne's success over the last 3 years, now spanning two managers. Obviously, you know, they've had Landers now for consecutive years, won the championship last year. They have an opportunity to go and defend their title. It's been a great program. They've had a lot of good players that have come through over the last 3 years, consistently get talent, do a really good job, I think, of managing their pitching throughout the season and managing their bullpen, maybe as much as anybody. I'm really sort of interested to hear your thoughts on it. You know, you've been close, been down there on the Cape more than I have, just historically. So you have some insight here. So I'm sort of interested to hear your perspective on Bourne and sort of what they've done and built, because year after year, you know, to have three consecutive years of success like this, I think is pretty rare.
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head first. I think a lot of credit can be given out to Coach Landers, and also the degree of difficulty of doing this is pretty darn high. And I know that, you know, some people who are listening might kind of discount it for being summer ball. There are only 44 games. Unless you really have a tough season, you're going to make the playoffs. But nonetheless, getting to the point that they have, which is the championship in each of the last three seasons, is incredibly impressive. And I think both in finding success during the regular season and then also especially in the playoffs when it really matters, it all comes down to continuity. And I think that what they've done in the last 3 years especially is they've had a core of guys who, once they arrive on the Cape, I mean, they're there until the final pitch. This year, in looking at it, it's kind of a big three in each of the last 3 years, at least offensively. This year you have Derek Bender, Bryce Eblin, and Jonathan Vastine, who have been their anchors. And then looking at last year's team, it was the ever-talented Matt Shaw, Evan Slight, Chris Brito, and then Matt Horvath, after he was done at UNC, came right away. And then going back to 21, when the start of this run began, it was the Louisville duo of Christian Knapchick and Dalton Rushing, as well as Tanner Schobel and then Max Anderson from Nebraska and Joe Lampe from Arizona State. You kind of look at Bourne's lineup, I think from the end of June onward, that's going to be their team for really the entirety of the season. And while they might, you know, this year they came in fourth in a loaded West Division, which I mean, fourth place in that division really is not too far off, even from the point leading Katuha Kettleers. But they do a great job of, as you said, managing innings and kind of working around innings limits and kind of getting the most out of their arms. So I think it all goes back to buy-in and continuity. And the way that this team is built is exactly how they're performing. It's to be in it for the long run. And Coach Landers does a really good job of getting these guys bought in and excited about the idea of winning a Cape League championship and playing for the town of Bourne, and a lot of other factors. So they've got it all going on. When whether or not they win the championship again, it's been a pretty exciting time right by the bridge.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you make a good point in terms of the continuity in their lineup. That's rare in this day and age. They do seem to find guys that buy in for the entirety of the summer. And I can remember, you know, having a conversation with a scout who does a lot of Cape Cod League coverage, you know, maybe about a month back, 3 weeks back. And he had picked out Bourne as the team that he felt was most likely to, you know, potentially repeat or, you know, obviously win the title this year. And it wasn't a matter of record. It was a matter of personnel, but also just the spirit of the team. And I know that sounds kind of corny, but I think it really matters. And I think when you and I talk about summer ball and what's successful, and we've talked about it on the show, there is an element of buying in, and a lot of it has to do with having fun and enjoying your time, not only in the town and the Cape Cod League experience, but also playing for those, you know, for your manager and coaches, et cetera. And, you know, they have a really good staff there, obviously, in Bourne. You know, Jared Saltawamaki, a former big leaguer and, you know, World Series champion, if I'm not mistaken, right? You know, is part of that staff. So it's, you know, I think they have a good environment. It's definitely a place that draws, and you can tell that there is a contingent that's there every year in terms of, you know, Bourne locals. And Bourne also, I think, you know, to its credit, is maybe a little bit less transient than some other places in the Cape too, where there's a lot of people who live there year round. You know, so I think that's all a big part of it. It's also pretty easy to probably get over there from just over the bridge, because you can literally see the other side from the park as you're pulling out. So you draw some of those local people as well. So, you know, I think it's just a good organization from top to bottom. And obviously, you know, Scott Landers has done a great job of making it fun. And I would say that's something that, you know, he's certainly, you know, drawn from the program in Brewster and what Jamie's done, who's a guy who's had, you know, tremendous success with Brewster over the last, you know, 4 to 5, 6 seasons. So yeah, I think it just sort of speaks to that mentality and that focus. And it's not like these guys aren't developing either. It's not like they're just there having a party. You know, they're obviously there playing baseball, playing good ball, improving throughout the summer, and having a good time doing it. So credit to Bourne. And I thought it was important to sort of shot them out here at the beginning of the show, because they have just experienced a tremendous amount of success over the last, you know, 3 seasons. So good for them. On the other side, it's been a little different. I think everybody respects Kelly Nicholson. He's one of the good guys in all of baseball, but definitely the Cape Cod League. I always enjoy my time talking to Kelly, and I've run into him, you know, on both coasts, actually, funny as it may be. But it's been a while. It's been 10 years since they've been in the championship game, since they've come out of the East. They haven't won the Cape Cod League title since 2005. So, you know, we're going on 19 seasons now. They finished second. They had their best year in quite a while. And, you know, I think it speaks volumes to the continuity that Kelly built this year. I know it was something that when I chatted with him a little bit last offseason, it was something he was looking at, of not having a roster that changed over so much. And, you know, I think they did a good job of bring in a lot of guys that fit a lot of different roles, and he did a really good job of executing with those players this year. And, you know, they were right on Yarmouth Dennis's tails and were hot in the second half of the season, if I'm not mistaken. Finished only a point behind YD, swept them in, you know, the East playoff final or the semifinal, and here they are, and they're hosting too. So If this goes three games, goes the full slate, they're going to be hosting a home game at Lady Eldridge. So really, really interesting. I love seeing the success for this particular team. And they got their guy, Estes Bourne, going tonight in the opening game of the final at Eldridge in Grayson Carter of Vanderbilt versus Bryce Cunningham of Vanderbilt. So two Vandy boys going toe-to-toe in the first game of the final.
Yeah, it'll be a fun matchup. You hit the nail on the head right away with Coach Nicholson. I haven't met anyone in the baseball world that has said a single bad that has had a single bad thing to say or negative thing to say about Coach Nicholson. He's an 80 grade person, and it's I know that we're unbiased, but I'm really happy to see him return to the championship for the first time in, as you said, 10 years, and is two wins away from his first title in 18 seasons. And it's hard to believe because Orleans is always super, super competitive. They have great teams. They've got great prospects. But come playoff time, it's such a jump ball. And your season can end in 48 hours. And there's such a suddenness to it, but really kudos to Coach and Skip. And they, this year, I think again, kind of going back to that initial point, continuity is key. They've had their core of guys that have really led the way as well, with Matt Hulbach from UC San Diego, third baseman, who was on the hot sheet last week. He finished the season hitting an incredibly impressive 364 with five doubles, a few home runs, respectable K to walk, and then kind of this year's fan favorite, I think, Joe Oyama. He is an absolute dynamo. He plays a lot bigger than his 5'8", 5'9" frame might suggest. He finished the season hitting 360, was an MVP finalist with a surprising showing of impact and power. He hit 11 doubles, six triples, five home runs, almost an even K to walk, and then he swiped six bases as well. And he had kind of the knack for making an exciting play over at second. And then Jack Penny, local Massachusetts product from Notre Dame, was there for really the entire season with 42 games, hit 275, was an all-star, has really done well on the left side of the infield for the Firebirds. And then Eddie Micheletti from George Washington kind of rounds out that core group, hitting 274 with nine doubles and a pair of home runs. And then tonight, as you mentioned, it's a Vanderbilt on Vanderbilt matchup, with Bryce Cunningham from Bourne and Grayson Carter for Orleans. And Carter this year, he started a couple times. So far is yet to allow an earned run, 14 strikeouts. The arm talent is outstanding with Carter. He'll be 97 to 99, maybe even touching 100 at times. Command has been a little bit of a bugaboo for him. But if he's around the zone and throwing quality strikes, he is as tough an arm to hit as anyone on the Cape. And then with Cunningham, it'll be more 1-4 with the fastball, 91 to 94 with a little bit of carry through the zone. Slider's pretty average. He locates his fastball well to each side of the plate. So a fun matchup on tap. I think that the X factor in this series is going to be each team's bullpen and really who they have available, because at this point in the summer, We're 2 months, two plus months removed from opening day. Anyone that you have is really, I think at this point, kind of gassed. And then you also, you've played so many games in so few days, there's been really no time for rest. So who you have available is such a key. And Orleans is going to have Sean Mattson, the reliever of the year, available out of their bullpen. He is not allowed a run in 21 and two thirds innings, 26 Ks to three walks, only 11 hits allowed. If you can get him the ball with the lead and the, you know, at this point in the championship series, if you can get the ball to him with a lead after seven, I mean, I think you got to feel really good in that Orleans dugout. And as you mentioned, they've got home field advantage. So they've got a chance to really, they might be pushing 5,000 people at Eldridge Park tonight after 4,500 a couple nights ago in game two against YD. So yeah. It's going to be a really, really fun championship series between two excellent and extremely deserving teams. And I think on the other side for Bourne, That lineup, especially in the last few days, has really reared its head and hit its stride. There's no easy out up and down that order. I think Josh Carota Grauer really hitting his stride come playoff time has paid huge dividends. And then you kind of surround him with Jonathan Vastine, Derek Bender, Garrett Michelle, Sam Peterson again has been excellent in the playoffs. Cameron Foster, even, who's the 6'5 third baseman from Liberty, he's been DHing. Everyone is swinging it well. And so Orleans is going to have their hands full, and Bourne will have their hands full in the box with the arms that they're going to see. So it'll be an outstanding series, I think. And hopefully it goes three games. I think that would be really cool. I think because in the Cape League, game three is basically game seven. I think it'd be cool to see a game seven in a championship.
Yeah, I think it's what we all want, you know, for sure. Absolutely. Without a doubt. And I'm just actually looking and double checking on something right now, but was looking while you were speaking, and it's wild. There's eight players that were in the lineup the other night for Orleans who have played, I think, a minimum of 33 to a maximum of 47 games this season. Eight of the 10 players that featured position players. That speaks to a lot of that continuity. And looking at Bourne, I think it's five to six have 30 plus games in terms of, you know, games played and featured for that team. So that sort of speaks to it. There's guys like Cameron Foster who are just under 30, you know, and a handful of other guys who, you know, joined recently. You know, Bender was hurt for a little bit. He's at 37. Kendall Diggs joined a little late. He's at 28 and has obviously been a pretty good player for them. And then Contreras, I think, is the one guy that's kind of outside of that like 30 threshold. So kind of speaking to the continuity of these two teams and how much value there is in this really uncertain setup and time in summer ball, where your roster just changes so much and there's little you can do about it. Guys get injured, guys go into the transfer portal, etc. You know, Team USA, sometimes you get a guy that you think is a sleeper, and by the time May rolls around, he's not so much any longer, and he's on that USA watch list and gets an invite. So, you know, just kudos to them and all that they've been able to do to put together these two teams that have had that sort of continuity throughout this season. Now, I want to switch it up a little bit here, but first we're going to take a quick break.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. That's why I use Indeed for our hiring at Baseball America. It allows me to do everything on one website. I get quality candidates. I can schedule them. I can interview them. I can screen them. I can send messages to them, all within Indeed. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Baseball America. Just go to Indeed.com/Baseball America right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Baseball America. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, and we are back. Peter, we've talked about the championship game. We've covered the playoffs. I don't think we need to go into detail here. Let's Let's do some postseason awards.
Oh, I like it.
All of them. We're gonna have full first and second teams that we'll put out. You know, around the same time we're doing like Cape League superlatives, and of course our top 50 players in the Cape Cod League rankings, which is something that we do historically every year. Those will be coming over the next couple of weeks. Got to plan that out with Mr. Flaherty actually here, but let's just keep it. Let's keep it light, man. Let's talk Cape League MVP. I called it Cy Cod for the top pitcher on the Cape Cod League. We'll say two superlatives here and biggest breakout, and then a 2024 draft sleeper, which might be the same person. That's okay if we do that. But MVP pick, Pete, I'm going to put it over to you, man. You tell me what you're thinking. I think it's going to be the same for both of us.
I was going to say, I think that we're going to have the same MVP. Mine is Travis Bezzana, infielder from Oregon State, who played for Falmouth this summer. Hit 375 with six doubles, six home runs, 31 RBIs, even K to walk ratio, and 14 stolen bases in 33 games. I'm going to be honest. I don't want to say never, but I really haven't seen a player dominate the Cape League like Travis Bezzana did, really since Nick Gonzalez in 2019 and then Alec Bohm in 2017. He made some of the highest level of play. He made it look really, really easy all summer on both sides of the baseball. At the plate, he is super, super explosive. There's legit physicality in his frame. Elite bat speed. The approach is off the charts. He is a walking barrel, and he hits for impact. He sprays line drives all fields, and it's gap to gap power. I mean, I think it's 1-1 type upside in 2024, and especially if he can play a little shortstop for Oregon State. I know it's up in the air as to where he'll fit in for the Beavers, but I think that it's a no brainer for Bezzana to win our MVP award.
Yeah, I believe he won the Cape Cod League MVP award too. So we're just echoing the sentiments that have already been put out there. But yeah, I think we anticipated this. We had kind of called this at the beginning of the season. Not that we were going out in like a super steep ledge here. I mean, like, I think if you had pulled 100 people that knew that were in the know, you would have gotten like at least 80 responses probably saying Bezzana was at least, if not one, two or three. So yeah, it's not like we're going on a tremendous ledge here by saying that early in the year. But yeah, I mean, I agree. I think that he was one of the best Cape Cod League players I've seen over the last 5 to 6 years. And you know, I think that if you spoke with him, the funniest thing is he would have been like, I could have hit for more power, could have done more, which kind of speaks to the type of competitor he is. But yeah, the hit tool is just super advanced. The plate discipline and their approach is great. There is power there. I think he'll grow into more power as he continues to mature and work at it. Just the barrel control is super impressive. And he's fast. He's an excellent base runner. He's instinctive. You know, they had him playing in the outfield, which is something he's like, I don't think really ever done. They had him playing at second base, which is his natural position. And, you know, I think the biggest question is probably the arm and the arm slot, but like, I don't know, we've seen this guy throw 93 before. So you know, I think that it's in there. It's just a matter of making some tweaks and adjustments and knowing him and the things that he's already done just in his amateur career here in the States. I think that can happen. So yeah, for me, he's one of the more exciting Cape draft prospects we've seen in quite a while, maybe since Spencer Torkelson. Just because I don't think Nick Gonzalez ever had the sort of 1-1 upside. Some of that is a product of the draft that he was in. Bezzana's in a weaker draft class. But still, you know, I think that it's like, yeah, like this guy could be the guy, you know, and we saw that with Torque a little bit, but he was never here for an extended stay and able to win an award like this the way Bezzana was. So just from a historical perspective, we'll put that out there. Now for Cy Cod. Peter, I'm just going to say, I'm going to put out Cam Hill there. He performed with throughout the summer. I think that, you know, he was really strong over the opening few weeks of the season. And I think you could probably make a case that carried him for a big chunk of it. But I don't think that that was everything. Showed three pitches. He competed. He's definitely an interesting, projectable pitching prospect, just a big, tall, athletic lefty with three pitches. But I think there's probably a case for some other guys here as well. So what do you think? Are you still sticking with Hill? Do you have another name you throw out there, or maybe even some other suggestions that you think could be in the mix here?
Yeah, I think it's really hard to not give at least my personal side cod to Cam Hill of the Catoosa Cavaliers. But again, as you mentioned, he's 6'6", athletic lefty, moves well on the mound. This year, 1.09 ERA, 45 Ks to 16 walks and 33 innings. It's three pitches right now. The split change, I think, is probably the best of the three. I think it grades out as plus. He really kills spin on it well. Kind of falls off about 58, really 2 feet from the plate, 1.5 feet from the plate. Slider command is better than what I thought it was going to be coming in. The shape isn't outstanding. I'd say it's probably an average to maybe a tick above pitch. There are a couple that he'll throw, especially to lefties, that flash plus, but I think the slider command is above average. And then the fastball, he really will pitch with it, I'd say 91 to 93 or so, and then he'll frequently touch 94 and top out at 95 or 96. And it plays well up in the zone. It's explosive. It jumps out of the hand. And I think that the key for him in establishing his draft stock and maybe establishing himself as a potential top 3 to 4 or so round pick is going to be putting together a full season in Georgia Tech's weekend rotation, not only a full season in just, you know, pitching in the rotation, but pitching well. And I know that's easier said than done at Georgia Tech and in today's college game with metal bats and how much the ball flies in each yard. But Cam Hill gets my Cy Cod award, but there are two honorable mentions and they're actually both on Orleans. Honestly, one is Sean Mattson. I know he's a reliever, but again, he didn't allow a run in nearly 22 innings pitched, 26 Ks to 3 walks. Like, he's been untouchable for the entire summer, and he's been here the entire summer. So I think credit goes to him. And then also Derek Clark, who just left right before the playoffs started, left-handed pitcher. Small Division II school in Michigan, Northwood. He's since transferred to West Virginia. Pitchability specialist, smaller lefty, but really competes, throws strikes, and was a key reason as to why Orleans, you know, even though he hasn't been here for the playoffs, is a key reason as to why Orleans finished the season so strong and had such a good season. He anchored that rotation and really anchored the bullpen for the entire year. It was 5-1 record, 1.8 ERA, 38 Ks to just 10 walks and 40 innings. And you knew when Derek Clark was getting the ball, he actually made two starts. It was three starts. He went at least six innings in all three, threw seven innings in two of them, which is extremely rare nowadays. And you knew even out of the bullpen when he was getting the ball that in the middle he'd give you 2 to 4 really good quality innings. So those two guys would be my other Cy Cod co-winners, I guess, or I would say runner-ups. Sure.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, I think those are both very good options. I think another Orleans Firebird who, you know, was only here for 6 starts. He left before the All-Star game and right-handed pitcher out of Grand Canyon University out there in Arizona, and Daniel Avila, kind of a low slot right-hander, kind of like the right-handed version of Cooper Jerpy in some ways. And Jerpy was a commit to Orleans as well. Just didn't happen to play there that summer. But I thought he was really good too, you know, just in terms of one of the better pitchers that I saw this summer. Didn't get as much swing and miss as Cam Hill did, or Clark for that matter, but or maybe about the same, probably from a strikeout per inning perspective as Clark actually. But still, you know, it was really impressive. I thought Tristan Smith from Clemson and Bourne was really impressive. He was pitched at the Worcester Classic or whatever it is, the Polar Park Classic out here in Worcester. I thought he was really good. Really interesting fastball shape, good changeup. You know, throw a breaking ball for a strike at least. Kind of an interesting player there. He was another guy that I think maybe deserves honorable mention as, you know, over 23 innings and however many, I think maybe six or seven appearances. You know, he was 3-0 with a 1.57, had 33 strikeouts to 10 walks over 23 innings, and is a legitimate draft prospect as well. You know, was a highly touted recruit going into Clemson as a high school player. So kind of interesting there. Now for breakout player of the year, that's the next two we're going to do here, is sort of breakout and draft sleeper. I'm going to keep it a little bit more mainstream with my first breakout here. I'm going to go with, and I think there's two, both guys that may have played themselves into the first round. One is Cam Smith. I think Cam Smith of Florida State and Hyannis was probably the second best prospect after Travis Benzana on the Cape this summer. You know, hit 375, six home runs, had six doubles, pair of triples as well. You know, 28 strikeouts to 25 walks when I initially, well, excuse me, 18 strikeouts to 18 walks. I am totally messed up here. 24 strikeouts to 13 walks. I'm correct that time. I'm looking at the stupid statistic board and it's not gridded out. So I'm getting confused with Oyama and Bizana. But either way, I felt like early on over the first couple of weeks, Smith struggled. There was swing and miss there. And that started to really dissipate as the season wore on. I think he made three of our last four or four of our last five Cape Cod League hot sheets, was one of the top performing hitters all summer. There's a ton of power there. There's high end exit velocities. And I think he showed more feel to hit than I had expected as well. Really impressive athlete. I think he's, you know, 6'4", 6'5". You know, it's a tall, sort of almost like a tight end type of a build. And I think there's even maybe more strength that he could add in the coming years without, you know, the body going the wrong way. So he's a really interesting pro prospect. I have him behind Benzana, but I think for a breakout of the summer, I think I have to go with Cam Smith. Is he was a guy that, while not off my radar, I had lower expectations for, especially with my early looks.
Yeah, I think one, this is a little precursor to the top of our top 50 with Bizana and Smith 1 and 2, because I wholeheartedly agree. I think Smith is safely now, I would say, a first rounder, especially in this year's draft class with a top half of the first round type ceiling. You mentioned it's a pro body at 6'3", 220 plus throwing arm at third. I think what really blew me away again is, as you hit on, was that he blossomed and came into his own on the Cape after, I'd say, an up and down year at Florida State. He really showed flashes at times, but was unable to string together good series at a time. But he had a great summer and was here the whole way. Played in all 49 of Hyannis's games. Was an all star. 12 doubles, six home runs. I think the approach really made positive strides, especially with two strikes. Working with hitting coach Tino Martinez, he kind of widened his base, went nose stride, and just really let his hands and natural strength work, and kind of realized, hey, I don't really need to sell out that much to impact the baseball and drive it. And it paid off for him. The strikeouts went way down. The power numbers were way up. And he's well on his way, I think, to being on the short list for a potential ACC player of the year. But my breakout candidate, I think to have a different guy than you, I'm going to go with Cole Mathis from College of Charleston in Kituit, two-way guy. Hit 318 this summer with 10 doubles, 11 home runs. Only one of two players hit double-digit home runs this year, and was second in the league with 42 RBIs. And he had a great year at College of Charleston. I think him flying under the radar was a byproduct of being from a mid-major school, not many people getting eyes on him, seeing him play. But he blew me away time and time again. I know you were super impressed with him. It is big time bat speed, at the plate. The barrel just explodes through the zone. You know, it's easy backspin to all fields. I think his power comfortably grades out as a 60 right now. And I think also on the mound, he was excellent. 23 Ks to just 5 walks in 20 innings, up to 96. I think the breaking ball, the curve ball that he throws, is above average and flash plus. I think that whoever drafts him, I think will at least try him out of the bullpen to start. I think they're gonna want to use an arm talent like that. And then again, going back to the offensive profile and the overall profile, there might be it might not sound as enticing given that he might be a right first baseman at the next level, but the arm, if a team wants to, it would absolutely play over at third base and be a plus arm, just given his arm strength. And then I think obviously the power hit combination is the carrying duo for Mathis. And I think this summer he established himself as kind of how Smith did a first rounder. I think Mathis established himself as a top 2 round guy and a definite day one selection. He has a chance to really have a special year at College of Charleston and, you know, potentially win the John Olerud Award, which is given out to the nation's top 2-way player. And he was just excellent. So my breakout candidate is Cole Mathis.
Yeah, I agree with that. He was the other guy that I was going to shout out and bring up. So I'm glad that you mentioned him. Now, real quick, because I want to wrap this sucker up in a second. I don't think we need a ton of explanation. But who is your sleeper for the 2024 draft that you saw this summer that we haven't mentioned yet?
Oof. That's a good question. I'd say sleeper. Sleeper. I'd say Will Turner from Brewster, because I was going to say – sleeper is a guy that, you know, not many people know, because I would have probably said Jonathan Vastine or Derek Bender, right. But everyone knows who those guys are. I'd say Will Turner from Brewster from South Alabama. Super athletic left-handed hitter, 6'1", 190. Kind of a data darling. Hit 295 this summer, more walks than strikeouts, plus arm and center, super athletic. I think that he's going to stick in center. He's got an above average arm, great approach to the plate, good barrel sense. I think that, he might work his way into the top 100 overall picks.
No, yeah, that's a really good one. I like that one, quite a bit. I think it's a pretty good call. The guy that I was going to, shout out here is outfielder from Oklahoma State, Zach Erhard. Had a big hit last night, though I know that Hyannis couldn't end up pulling that game out, but walked as much as he struck out this year on the Cape. There's some power there as well. No, I mean, it's not huge power, but I think there's some. I just think there's, you know, high level hit tool guy, play all three outfield positions. You know, maybe not a top 3-round, 4-round guy, something like that, but I do think an interesting player. And I know he's played a little 2-way as well, but primarily obviously he's a hitter. So interested to see where he, you know, sort of ends up going. But I was going to throw out Erhard there just because I think he is sort of an underrated name that maybe we're talking about good players in the Cape. We don't bring him up so much, but he had a really good summer, you know, hit, like I said, 297 and, struck out, you know, as much as he walked. So pretty good numbers there.
And I think most impressively about Erhard is he didn't record his first hit of the summer, which was a bunt single, until June 30th against Bourne. He started the summer, I think it was 0 for 24. And oftentimes, you know, baseball's anyone listening knows it is an extremely, extremely difficult game. And oftentimes it'll kind of eat guys up. And instead of either going home or letting it ruin and carry over into his whole summer, he was able to flush all those bad performances. It started, funny enough, as I mentioned, with the bunt against Bourne, and then he just strung together hits and actually ended up being one of the Harbor Hawks' more reliable bats down the stretch. Yeah. And, you know, finishing it among the league leaders in hitting. And he's a quick twitch guy, pretty physical build. And as you mentioned, the approach got better through the summer. Mm-hmm. Some struggle with spin, but I think it's an advanced one, plus runner, 11 stolen bases, and really good baseball sense, I think, is what blew me away most with Earhart. Yeah. He's a really smart player. And you know, he kind of had his fingerprints all over the box score, night in and night out for Hyannis, really starting in, honestly, at the end of June. He was a part of every single game, made his mark, whether it be in center field, or at the plate, where he turned into a real weapon. So I think that he's an intriguing guy. And he had a freshman All-American season in 2022 for the Cowboys. Yep. And was going to play for Hyannis in 2022, but he got a little dinged up at the end of the season. And then this year was kind of still dinged up a little, didn't have an outstanding year for Oklahoma State. But he's going to anchor that Cowboy lineup, I think, all of 2024, and has, I think, top five or so round upside.
Yeah, and he, over the last 30 days, so we kind of eliminate out that bad streak that he had, he hit 406, 476, 478 over his last 83 plate appearances. That was the fourth or fifth best batting average and on base percentage in the Cape Cod League over that period in time, and was 28 for his last 69 with 16 runs scored, 15 RBIs, and 11 walks to 10 strikeouts. So, and eight steals. So it just kind of shows, as you said, kind of had his fingers all over that box score while playing a valuable defensive position. So an interesting player for sure. But there we go, Peter. We got the finals coming up over this weekend, and we'll start rolling out some lists in the coming weeks. So exciting stuff. I want to thank you for listening to us throughout the summer and tuning in. We'll try to do these sporadically throughout the off season, but I think we probably have another two or three episodes left as we review some of the top performances from the summer.
Should we, before we log off or sign off, should we predict the finals?
Sure. Yeah. Go for it. Who are you going with, in the final?
I'll keep it brief. I've got Orleans in three.
All right. I'm going to go with Bourne in three.
So I like it.
We'll go with opposites there. I'm going to keep it true to the West Division, which I like covered so much all season. So yeah, I'm going to go with Bourne. But man, this could be anybody's game, and exciting to see what happens, you know, not really pulling for anybody. We stay objective, but for Jeff, for Peter, this has been the Baseball America Cape Cod Pod. Thanks for tuning in.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.